DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Missionary Benedictines of Christ the King Priory, presents The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World, with Father Mauritius Fildi. Father Mauritius did his philosophical, theological, and doctoral studies in Rome. He is the author of numerous books, including I Want to Understand You, Encountering Foreign Worlds with the Little Prince, The New Image of God's Image, Meister Eckhart on Image and Theology, Peter and Paul, Models of Decision-Making, and On the Way, Benedict's Journey for Spiritual Maturity. Father Mauritius also serves as the prior of Sant'Anselmo in Rome. The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World, with Father Mauritius Fildi. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Father Mauritius.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
I think this is a topic that it touches us on so many different levels, and some that is inside of us, but also some of it affects us from the outside, and it's how to overcome anger.
Yeah, I think this is a big one. Anger is a big one. Sometimes it's just the under the table, you cannot see that anger is kind of going on, but this is why we have to put it on the table and to address it. And we can do it without fear. And Saint Benedict, our founder, put it this way in chapter 4, verse 22. He said, "You are not to act in anger." And these few words actually contain everything. And I want to disclose this for you, how we could possibly deal with our anger. As you said, it's a big topic. It's a big topic on an individual basis. So each of us have an anger problem once in a while. Some a little bit more, others less. So there are differences. Some characters are more kind of closer to an eruption in anger. Others not so much, but there's no human being who does not know anger. So you know this feeling kind of, it starts boiling and it's getting hot inside. And so what do you do now? And if you let this anger take over, then something happens with you which is not good. We would call it, make a difference between reaction and response. If you just react, if your anger comes and you just let it out at that very moment when it comes, most of the time it's disastrous, it's not edifying, it's not helping. Very seldom that you can really spontaneously vent your anger, let out your anger. Most of the time we should not do it. So how can we kind of restrain our anger? St. Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. How do we do that? Let me tell you that for me personally, I am very familiar with anger. So it's a problem for me. And the first consolation and comfort that I got in this area was to see that even Jesus was angry once in a while. It gave me a big comfort because I just couldn't handle it. So we see Jesus, for example, in John, second chapter, in the temple. He made a whip out of a cords and drove all people from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. So there was quite some anger in him. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. And then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So you can really see this sacred anger that was that was rising in him, and he was acting it out. So that gives me at least some comfort that anger, it seems to be really human. So even Jesus had this anger. But we would call it a sacred anger, not a destroying anger at this point, because it had a good purpose. And he was not so much destroying, he was more edifying the place and pointing to something. It's not the only passage where Jesus shows himself angry. We see it in Mark 3, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. He went into the synagogue, and a man with a withered hand was there. And so he wants to heal this man, but the Pharisees are against it because it's Sabbath. And the reaction of Jesus is, he looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So interesting, Mark describes Jesus here angry. Again, this gives me some comfort, so that anger is not something totally forbidden, if you wish. In a way, we need the anger, we need the energy that lies in our anger. We could call it the power of aggression. We need aggression in order to defend ourselves when we are attacked. So this is a good thing. Sometimes I compare aggression and anger with sexuality. We need sexuality in order to live on in this next generation, to multiply. But we shouldn't act out our sexual drive all the time. So we need it. It's a good thing. God has created it. But we have to learn how to deal with it properly. The same with anger. God has given us the anger to protect ourselves, if needed, to defend ourselves. People who have no capacity to be angry are in danger to lose their lives. Actually, it's a sign of depression when people are not able to be angry anymore. So it's not a good sign if you don't have any sign of anger in you. It's good to have this energy, like our sexuality. You need this too. These are sources of energy in us that have to be transformed, certainly.
Do you think, Father Mauritius, it's because anger has so many different type of definitions or facets, like a diamond, that we place it all under the same term, anger, and yet we really are talking about the definition of different things?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, as opposed to that red hot anger, we lash out, we hit somebody
mm-hmm.
thoughtlessly, senselessly,
mm-hmm.
or that anger when we see an injustice or harm coming mm-hmm. to the vulnerable, like
mm-hmm.
many feel a certain type of anger surrounding abortion or poverty mm-hmm. or different types of social ills and sins. How do we have to distinguish, don't we?
Absolutely. And you described it perfectly. The first is the pure reaction, not the response. You lash out. It can even come to the point of wrath. You know, it's just destroying. And then there's a piece of revenge also, you know. So it's disastrous. It's destructive. It's not helpful. But kind of on the same energy can also be transformed into something like a sacred anger. This is how I would call it. This is how I would call what Jesus did. Because, right, he opted for the sacred space that should be protected. The people were not supposed to turn the house of his father into a marketplace. And the examples you brought forward, they are excellent. we are invited to respond to injustice that we encounter, for example, poverty, or you mentioned abortion, or other things that are really against life and against human beings. Blessed are we if we have this anger. But here comes the point. How do we transform this anger? How do we act it out in a way that is edifying instead of destructive? And I would suggest kind of four steps. Step number one is become aware of it. Step two, accept it and bring it to prayer. Three, take a nice deep breath. And four, pray for meekness and mercy. Number one, maybe the most important one, become aware of it. Many people act out of anger, not noticing it. There are different forms of anger that are a little bit more subtle. For example, somebody is grumpy. It's actually anger. Grumbling, it's anger. Bitterness can be a sign of anger. When we become aware of our anger, we might become aware of what is behind our anger. Very often it is sadness. So when people, for example, vent their anger, let them vent it. And then all of a sudden, as the energy ceases, there's a sadness coming up. So the anger is sitting on top of the sadness. So if you are able to become aware of that, you can then deal with the sadness. And even further down, you can see two sources of the anger. One is fear and the other is hurt. So when people become angry, when we become angry, most of the time it's either because I'm afraid or I'm hurt. So as you reflect on your own life and on yourself, you may ask, why I'm becoming so angry? And as you can find out the real reason for it, the anger already is gone in a way. So again, the first step would be become aware of it. Thank God that you have become aware of the anger, and then kind of reflect and analyze what is behind. What makes me so angry? Yeah, it's this person. It's this person that makes me angry. No. Stop. What is it? Yeah, this person, he hurts me. Okay, that's the hurt that makes you angry. Or I'm afraid of this person. Okay, it's the fear. And so this would be the first step to transform our anger.
You had mentioned that depression, in some ways, I've heard it said that from Catholic psychologists and other professionals, that depression is anger very often that is spiraling in it, because it doesn't have that release, and it spirals with inside of ourselves. And it goes very deep. So in that, be aware, not only on those lashing out moments in anger, the red hot one, but if we're, and I'm not saying, you know, there are clinical forms of depression and things that are caused by the effects on the body of a physical nature, there is a possibility that it could be the source of that depression is an anger that we need to become aware of.
Yes.
And then to, just as you said, bring that to the surface.
Yeah, this is very true. Depression means that there's a pressure on us that is kind of directed against ourselves. It keeps us down. If I instead take this pressure and direct it outwards, the depression is gone. But as you said, one has to be careful. There are different kinds of depression. But basically speaking, aggression is a good thing in this sense that we get this pressure out. So the first step is not only to reflect on it, maybe even before, to bring it to the surface. This is a beautiful word, how you put it. How can we bring it to the surface? For example, as we talk with friends who know us very well, with whom we feel secure, let this anger out. We will never harm the friend because he's a friend, but we can vent it and just share what is on our heart. And just this, talk about it. In other words, talk about it. Don't talk right away to the person who has made you angry, but instead talk with a friend. Another way is to do sports or any physical activity, because what happens then is that you get the pressure out. You know, there's a pressure on you. You are hurt, or you feel a fear. You get it out, and yeah, you cannot damage a bicycle with your anger. Now, maybe you can hurt yourself if you overdo it and you fall. But anyway, any kind of sports can also help to get it out. And then the next step would be to reflect what is actually behind. The second step is to accept the prayer, accept the anger and bring it to prayer. The Psalms are a beautiful way to deal with anger. Why? Because we see even God being angry. For example, in Psalm 85, verse 3, you set aside all your wrath and turned from your fiercy anger. Again, the comfort, even God is angry. But you see anger all of a sudden, not in the earthly realm, but in the divine realm. And you see how even God would let his anger go. And he did it so often. He was angry with the people, but finally he granted Noah and his family a rescue. He became angry so often, but he always was overcome by mercy finally. So we can see in God and in Jesus certainly how mercy comes before anger, and that it is possible to transform our anger.
And can we not see Father Mauritius in the context of salvation history, and in that the longer, broader chronos time that we've been living on, that even in the Old Testament where we see the, and it has been described as the wrath or the anger of God, it's in a very real way, is it not, a controlled anger to the extent that there is something greater, a greater good is coming out of this, that it is not done to just simply destroy or to decimate. It's a part of a greater plan.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be appropriate?
Absolutely. I think one can also compare to the anger that parents feel with their kids. If this anger really comes out of love, it's a good thing. So I imagine God as, when he became angry, as you said, why did he do it? Why was he angry? Because he loved us. Because he wanted us to bring us back to him for our betterment, for our sake. This is why he was angry with us. The same with parents. I'm not talking about, again, just kind of if a father or mother lets out their anger, this is not a good thing. But if they feel something is not right here, and my son, my daughter should receive some direction, then anger is a good thing. But again, it has to be enveloped by love and by respect and even by tenderness. I remember, actually, it was only once that my father was beating me, only once. And I remember that I could feel how he hated it. At the same time when he was punishing me, I felt his love at the very same time. And so, as you brought up the question that God, when he is described angry in the Old Testament, always pursued a bigger plan, this is because he loved us and he loves us.
Father Mauritius, do you think that, for again, I keep going back to the confusion and the conflict with the word anger, that it, in some ways too, it comes from the teachings of the Desert Fathers in response to the enemy, the evil spirit, some would say the demonic spirit of anger that will fuel our human emotion. We can be influenced by that. And so that remedy of the second response to take it to prayer, that allows God to come in and at least remove that spirit in the situation.
It's so beautiful that you bring this up, because the Desert Fathers, especially Evagrius of Pontus, who studied them very much, they have described it, how to deal with anger. They see anger as one of those big eight demons. And there is a beautiful book that I can really highly recommend. It's called Talking Back by Evagrius of Pontus, Talking Back or Antiretikos. And the fifth book describes the demon of anger. And what Evagrius offers here is quotations from the Holy Scripture that one can use if you are confronted with this demon of anger. So exactly as you said, when I put next to my anger the Word of God, then everything can be transformed and changed. The third step actually would be take a nice deep breath. The anger that God has in the Old Testament is located in his nose. So the people thought, when God gets angry, this has something to do with his nose. So the remedy for the people was to bring sacrifices. They offered all these lambs and cattle and sheep and everything. And the smoke was kind of rising up, and it would kindly end up in God's nose, and that would calm him down. So the idea of the sacrifices was to calm down, to finally bring at peace the anger of God. We don't have those bloody sacrifices anymore, thanks to God, but we have the incense, so which already here on earth smells well, and I'm sure God is also pleased to smell our incense. So the nose has something to do with our anger, and so has breathing, because this is how we get the air. So it is helpful when I feel the anger just to breathe. Instead of venting the anger immediately, take a nice deep breath. Take a nice deep breath. And sometimes this breath has to be a little longer. For example, take a whole night to think it over, the whole issue, instead of acting out right away. Take a deep breath. Take one night just for yourself to sleep. And then the next morning, maybe in prayer, you will find out what to do and how to react.
It takes a certain level of maturity, doesn't it? And maybe in the spiritual life, but also in just in the human life, maturity, to realize that you may not get the relief from the anger if you lash out in that moment. Oftentimes it's fueled because we lash out because we want it to immediately stop right there, and we get either our way or for it to cease the behavior. But in reality, we'll have to suffer the waiting.
Yes. Acting out the anger right away means increasing the anger. The anger will not stop. You mentioned at the beginning that we experience so much anger and angry people around us, even in the political realm and all over in the society. It all comes down to the task to not be affected by anger. So anger affects anger and causes anger. This is the reason why acting out the anger doesn't really help to bring us down, because the other person becomes angry as well and makes us angry again. And so here we go. Anger causes anger, causes anger, causes anger. Revenge. This is not ending unless I'm stopping and taking a deep, nice breath. So anger cannot be have as a response anger. In other words, if people make us angry, it is never a good thing to take on this angry attitude. You know, we can become so upset. Have you seen this? Yeah. And then the other person says, yes, me too. And I always thought, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, we all together are in a big bubble of anger. It doesn't help at all. It just doesn't help. It doesn't lead anywhere. So if you catch yourself this way, stop. And it might upset the other person that you don't join in. Stop it. Breathe. You don't have to go against the anger of the other person right away, because that makes him or her more angry. But just that the fact that you don't join in, that you are not affected, will help a little bit. So one demon calls the other demon. So if you add your little demon of anger to the many demons that are around, you know, it will add, and it won't help you.
Yeah, the only remedy really is a virtuous response,
yeah,
ultimately. And that's, even when we feel we have, this is where it gets confusing for some, the righteous anger, how we express that, if it's not done in virtue, it's not holy. And I learned that from Catherine of Siena, that the father in the dialogue is communicated to her as she expressed it, that, you know, you may think it's a good, but unless it's you respond in virtue, it's not a holy good. It's not something I'm calling you to. And how often, Father Mauritius, do we not see that in a lot of, whether it's a political discussion or it's, in any type of discussion where we think there is a injustice happening, but our response is, I don't mean to make it so colloquial, but snarky, or it's a response that is biting, or it fuels a rise in anger, and it's so counter to virtue.
Mm-hmm.
But we think we're doing good because, mm-hmm, of course, we should be angry about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but how you're expressing it, you're kind of in a different camp, aren't you?
Yeah, this is a very small path. You know, from righteousness to anger, very, very small. The only thing how you can protect yourself against the anger is really prayer. So if you should try, when you feel very right in a discussion, try to pray. And this can take away from this fueling the bitterness or the anger of the other side, you know, contributing to this whole atmosphere of aggression and fighting. Prayer takes away from that and kind of purifies the anger. A beautiful example for this is also St. Paul. St. Paul could become very angry, as we know. He was very energetic, but this was probably due to his anger. But we see him in Athens, in the Acts of the Apostles, on the Areopag. We read that he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He was angry. He was angry. But then it seems that he had the chance to stop and to first think and reflect. And then later it is said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects and worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you." It's a beautiful example that first, he's angry because, and he is right. He's right that those people are pagans. They have no idea about Christ and about God, and they worship all these idols. So he is right. But he takes a deep breath first and then kind of changes the whole situation, saying, and here you can see that he's really detached from his anger then, says, So he starts to love the Athens, the people of the Athenians. He loves the people of Athens. He says, "Wow, you're really religious people. You have so many gods here. But there's one altar that says to an unknown god, and this is the god I am proclaiming to you." So in a way, he connects with the people. When you just vent your anger and just let it out, you are disconnected. So back to your question, how can I help myself in a discussion not to, in a subtle way, still be aggressive in my way how I argue? Try to really be connected with the people. The people are not your enemies. They are sinners, certainly, but they are human beings. So although you might be right and they might be wrong, try to be connected. Try to be connected. Otherwise, it doesn't lead anywhere.
I think, going back to Evagrius Ponticus, to that understanding from the Desert Fathers, that if you can see, especially when you're on the other receiving end of somebody else's anger, if you can recall that this is a person created by God, and appreciate that something is hooked into that wound, and that what you're actually encountering is the spirit of anger that is manifesting itself, that's where that you enter into prayer. And that's how you can begin to detach from hooking it into your own woundedness and how you might respond.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That's beautiful how you say it. As you see the image of God in the other person, his presence, you can realize the presence of God in yourself. Because before it was, could still be your false self, your ego, that is kind of presenting itself at this point, but it's still not speaking God in your heart to God in the heart of the other.
And that can be hard, Father Mauritius. On one hand, when you're dealing with somebody one-on-one, and that's intense in itself. I mean, if you've ever been around somebody who's been very angry and they're lashing it out at you, but also to see it on a bigger scale in world situations, it is an unbelievable challenge that we can't begin to take on ourselves unless we draw from prayer any type of detachment from anger when we see, in our response to it, I should say, an angry response on our part, when we see what's happening on the world stage, when we see another religion actually taking the life and inflicting violence on the innocent.
Yeah.
To have an anger about what's occurring, but to be measured, at least prayerful, and not allowing our anger to fuel a response.
There are many things we are not angry enough about. For example, our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters around the world. The numbers is rising, and we are not very upset about it. So there are many things where we should need a little bit more anger.
Mm-hmm.
But again, always paired with meekness. This would be kind of my last step here. Pray for meekness and mercy. Meekness is kind of just the opposite of anger. And so if I have the inclination to anger, the favorite prayer should be, God, give me meekness because you are meek. And again, this meekness doesn't mean that I'm a softy or something like this.
Mm-hmm. It's a beatitude, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
Yeah. Literally, for heaven's sake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Any final thoughts?
Yes, maybe just a little quote given by Evagrius of Pontus in his book, Talking Back. He writes, "Against the thought that arouses our anger against cattle that do not go straight on their path, say, a righteous person pities the soul of his cattle, but the feelings of the ungodly are unmerciful." So what's happening here is that you can even let go your anger towards an animal. So we should feel pity for animals as well and be meek, although we certainly want that the cattle goes straight. But I find this so amusing and edifying to see how Evagrius even thought about anger towards animals.
Thank you so much, Father Mauritius.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World with Father Mauritius Fildi. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. You can also hear it on the free Discerning Hearts app available on the iTunes and Google Play stores. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World with Father Mauritius Fildi.